But I become more and more comfortable speaking here. It's just because of the love that surrounds me, that comes straight from God through your heart, and that reach out to me. It is so nice. You are family, and I am very thankful for it. And next to you, on my left, there are some other family members. I have my wife, one of my basically sons. Some of you have met Juvento. Juvento is like an adopted son, but his dad had several others. And I feel sorry that I didn't adopt the best looking Juvenson. And he's so guy. Yeah, he's from one of our church in Tomasik, one of the nicest looking church in Haiti. And we thank the Lord that father and sons are serving the Lord. And this is part of our ministry. Why don't you all stand up? These are my son on the left, my nephew and nieces, and all of them. We're just so thankful. They're here to encourage me, and as I feel with you, that's how I feel with them. I feel stronger and more excited to share God's word. The word of God is found in Acts 5, verse 40 to 42. Acts 5, verse 40 to 42. He says, and when they had called in the apostles, they bid them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple, they continue, and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. I call this the joy of serving Jesus. You know, one of the things that bring joy to people is when they're creative. You know, some people, they like to be creative. And when they come up with some new idea, it allows them to express themselves and tap into their imagination. Some people find great satisfaction in seeing the idea come to life and sharing them with others. It's fulfilling, and it brings a sense of accomplishment and happiness. Some people, just when they have loved ones and they spend quality time with them, it brings them joy. You can see them gathering at dinner table, going on in some fun outing with friends. And when they have long conversation with some friends, they just rejoice. The moment that they share are filled with laughter, love, and a sense of connection. It's uplifting and heartwarming when people who love each other, they're in the presence of each other. And people that you care for, it brings joy to be with them. That's why when we, and some of us, when we have free time, we just take a trip, go to places that we like, see people that we enjoy. And I don't want to talk about the American culture, but, you know, when they have holidays, they have to go back right from vacation to work. They were supposed to rest, and they come back, you know, more tired than ever. But it's the sense of joy that they find in traveling and seeing loved ones and enjoying themselves. It's just exciting. You know, some people find joy in being in the nature, you know. It's in the nature, and in whether it's taking a hike in the mountains, strolling along a sandy beach, or simply sitting in a park surrounded by tree, being in nature brings a sense of peace to some people. It makes you and I happy. But, you know, it is so interesting to see what happens in Acts 5. By the way, the book of Acts was written by Dr. Luke, the book that we've been studying for years. And it is, you know, I like someone that says, you know, people who are happy, they're people who find pleasure in the word of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. It is good to go deep and get that meat out of God's word. It brings joy, special joy. But Dr. Luke, I like it so much. When you read Luke 1, and it says how careful. I mean, I had to post something on my Facebook page and say, if you literate, if you're smart, intelligent, and you respect knowledge, you cannot deny Christ and what is taught in the Bible. Because Luke says how deep and profound and careful. If you respect research, I mean, you have to respect someone who lived in his time that say that he tried his very best to report what happened. And so I respect Dr. Luke from the first century because he was very knowledgeable and careful about what he wrote. If you look in Luke 1, verse 1. And I'm telling you that what we're talking about is true. It's not a made up. It is about men of God who were given the opportunity, according to them, to share Christ with people. And they were beaten. And they let them go. They were found innocent. Isn't that interesting? Even in our days, in our families, in our relationships, a lot of people find you innocent, but they still beat on you. A lot of people are suffering, not because they do anything wrong. They found innocent, but they beat on them. And the Bible tells us that after they were released, they rejoice. And they rejoice because they were found worthy of suffering for Jesus. How can this ever be possible? How can this ever be possible? I want you to think about three P's. To rejoice, to find joy in serving Christ, you need to have the right perspective. You also need to recognize the power that you gain from Jesus. And also the pleasure in suffering for Jesus' name. First of all, we need the right perspective if we need to find joy in serving Jesus. When I talk about perspective, I mean a balanced understanding of what is real. A good way to look at things. The disciples basically, they surprise everybody. Because when the enemy attacks you, when you're preaching the gospel, they want to discourage you. You know about Haiti, that everything we do, all the progress we make it through teams coming. You know, a lot of people go for so many reasons. But I know it's with the intention of helping us. But right now, people don't go. And Pastor Kirby just shared with you about the fact that every time we try to go and do ministry, something comes up. The other day, I planned everything. Mrs. Shoemaker bought a ticket for me. And I showed up at 10 p.m. My flight was at 11:50. So I could fly to the DR. And when I showed up, my wife already got home after she dropped me at the airport because I had to stand a long line flying into the DR. And what happened? A Haitian is not allowed to fly into the Dominican Republic with a Haitian passport. So my wife, at 10:30, almost 11 o'clock, had to drive back another 35 minutes to the airport to pick me up. And so it makes our trip, you know, questionable because the enemy is trying to discourage you. The disciple, the apostle, surprised everybody. Because after being beaten, after being discouraged and ordered not to speak, what they did is just they were, I'm sorry for you. Can you imagine? Big slap. I feel like, you know, just big. They use big whip with heavy duty aluminum in at the end, and they beat them. And then go. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And this is true. This is not no fable. They had the right perspective. The right perspective. A lot of us cannot find joy in marriage because we have the wrong perspective. My adoptive son, Patwon, this guy, you know, he's at the age where we keep on telling him that, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? And finally, he called my wife and say, yeah, he was going to get married. And I say, wow, this is the best news that I've ever heard. And my wife said, guess what? Pat will say he's going to get married. And I said, wow, that's great. Wow, are you excited? He said, yes. Our oldest adoptive son is going to get married. And so I sat down with my wife, and I tell me, how did he say that to you? He said, I'm going there is a girl that we know really like him. They dated when they were children. Yeah, and right now they're past 30, and the girl always showed interest in him. And my wife told me that when Pat won't call, he said, Pat won't is the guy who cooked for us. Those of you, I know a lot of you have been to Haiti. He cooked for us when we go to Haiti. And then he said, I'm giving T. Lou's her chance. I say, what? I say, honey, if this girl is normal, she's not going to marry my son. Yeah, because I don't care if a girl showed interest in you. You need to write perspective. You want to marry a girl, you got on your knees. If you don't get on your knees, I mean, you're not going to get the girl. And I say, honey, if she is normal, she's not going to marry. Pat will say, we will get married in March. He's not married. Because he got the wrong perspective. He doesn't get it right. Because the girl has been showing interest, he thinks that the girl has to say, the girl has to get on her knees. No! After I married my wife, I thought it was going to be easy for us to come to the States. And then it became so hard for us to, they refused to give a visa to her. And I started thinking about how much money I'm spending. Oh, yeah, oh man. But the Lord had to just pat me in the back and say, come on, man. You get one of the best looking women in the world. My wife, since I got married, she treated me like a child. And then to this day, it's like I've never been in a house with my wife without having my breakfast on the bed. She always ironed my clothes. She always, once I get into the bathroom to get my shower, my wife, she would always have my clothes every day laid on the bed for me, my shoe, my socks, and everything. I used to think it's because she's nice. But yes, it's because she's nice. It's because she knows I'm so goofy. I would wear anything. So she hurry up and put the right thing. So I don't put anything I find. You see? I can tell you that, but I got the best deal. When I went to tease her, I said, how can you spend your life with a man who doesn't look handsome? But I can't spend my life with a woman that's not the most beautiful. So basically, I had to have the right perspective about marriage so that I could enjoy. And this give us a heart of gratitude to count God blessing, not to see what we don't have, but see what we have. The right perspective help us. What are ideas about coming to church, about serving the Lord, about going on a mission trip? We're going to do a favor when we pull out checkbook and write. Sometimes we think we're doing a favor to a pastor, to someone that we like. Oh, what are our perspective when we serve the Lord? I can tell you that there was a missionary who was raising fund, came to a church that is home church, and gave and share the project. And someone said, oh, Joe, You're such a nice guy. I've known you forever. I trust you. And because of you, I'm going to give you $1,000. And Joe said, excuse me? I know you're my friend. I know you trust me. But what the project that I share is not my project. This is the Lord's project. This is something I'm doing for Jesus. He said, oh, this is not for you. This is for Jesus. Then I'm going to give you $10,000. Because the perspective was because it's a friend. It is something that you're doing because you're nice, you're kind. But what I'm telling you, serving the Lord, the right perspective is knowing that this is the Lord. This is the Lord. The apostle knew that they were ambassadors. You know what ambassadors? They've been chosen to bear the good news for the king. They represent Jesus. We're not going on mission trip to just to be nice to the lady who invited us. We have been chosen as ambassador of Christ. And the right perspective is not that you're going to suffer for Christ. But the right perspective is that Christ suffered for you. He gave his life to save you. You're giving your life to serve him. And if I was at my real church, you don't say amen. I say my own amen. Amen. Christ gave his life to save you. And you're going to give your life to serve him out of gratitude for the Lord. If you don't have the right perspective, you're going to change opportunity into difficulty. Because the right, you see, what happened in the verse is that it says the disciples, they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted, Acts 5:41, worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. I think what they're saying is that God doesn't give this opportunity to anyone. God doesn't allow anybody to suffer for him. It's a privilege. If my wife thinks that she's suffering for me, ask her, how many women are allowed to suffer for me that way? The same with her. This is a privilege. If the Lord has chosen you as ambassador to bear the good news and carry out his name, sharing the gospel, the right perspective is that it's an opportunity. It's a privilege. He doesn't choose anybody, but he chooses you so you can bear good tidings. And how beautiful, say Isaiah, are the feet of him who brings glad tidings, the good news. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that beautiful? You need the right perspective. Let me tell you one right perspective. Do you know about what Christ offers? You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because you, sinner, you were born in sin. God created us for communion and sin separate you from God. God created us as a battlefield. The enemy wants to draw you to hell, but God wants to bring you to heaven. And he will never let you go. You know what it means to give your life to save somebody? I mean, you keep nothing. You give it all. Nothing else. Jesus gave his life. That's how valuable. The song says, he would rather die than let you go. He loves people more than anything. God would rather die than let you go. F-
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has planted eternity in the heart of people. Everybody wants to live forever. God created you with that in your heart. The right perspective is that you believe in Jesus and you will be saved. Whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. But you know, I was looking at some ways people are trying to live forever. And I found out cryonics. It's like people think they believe in science so much that they think one day there will be, you know, cryonics, C-R-Y-O-N-I-C. People who have, this is the process of preserving people's body or brain at a temperature that you will stay forever. And so they believe in science so much that they think that one day, they're right there, very close to us, there are some funeral home. That's what they do. You die, you don't give your money to anyone, you keep your money, believing that one day there will be scientific discovery that will revival you. And then you don't care what generation, but believe in science so much that you will be brought back to life one day. One perspective. I'm talking about perspective. God created us. He made us. He knew us before we were in this world, in our mother's womb. From eternity past, he knew you, he knew me. And he's chosen us. The enemy is trying to get you where he's going to be. But God wants to give you life, eternal life. You believe in Jesus Christ. Even if you die, you will live. This is the right perspective. No cryonics, but faith in Jesus. You have eternal life. The apostles, they had the right perspective. And this is what I'm talking about. If you have the right perspective, you'll enjoy. You'll enjoy serving God. It would be a joy serving the Lord. Perspective, there's power. I thought I was going to just preach one point so that, you know, the message would be shorter. But I feel that there's something that caused the apostle to rejoice even when they saw. It's the power that we gain from the name of Jesus. The gospel is about God who came down from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ and gave his life for us. When we accept him, I believe it's like a book you have and you put your stamp on it. He put the Holy Spirit in us. According to Ephesians 1:13, is that it's like a down payment that he will come to get us. And the Holy Spirit within us say that we belong to him. And he will come back to get us one day. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's like a new birth. You grow in Christ. You constantly become different. People will be surprised how you've grown. It's because the Holy Spirit is working in your life, making you different. Like a child who's born physically, get transformed in a way that you can't imagine. Like you and I,
We were in our mother's womb once. And here we are. Unbelievable. Nicodemus could not understand. Born again.
But Jesus was talking about born of the Spirit, spiritual birth. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again. You don't live according to the flesh, but you live according to the Spirit. And when you have this power within you, your wife will enjoy it. Your husband will enjoy it because you will have joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And there is no law against that, according to Galatians 5:22. No law. I don't know why everybody doesn't take Jesus. Because this is what he does. You accept him as your personal Savior. He stamps you with his Holy Spirit. And then you see fruit coming out of it. And everybody enjoys people who have the Holy Spirit with us. You suffer. And your mind is not set on things on this earth, but on things above. And you're looking all the time, the blessed hope and the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until I come, and I will give you the Holy Spirit. How does he say that? Acts 1:8, you shall receive power, power, power. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be witness. That was Christ's promise. And the Holy Spirit came. He empowered his apostle, and he gave them power. 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 God, whatever he says with his mouth, his hand has a power to fulfill. Power. They received the power of the Holy Spirit, and they became witnesses. And as the witness, with the Holy Spirit within them, they were bold. They were sharing God's word. They were sharing the name of Christ. And even when they were beaten, they had the right perspective with the power that they receive within them. Suffering. This is just a joke. Weeping. Sickness. Discouragement. It's just a joke. In fact, they were excited. I got beaten for Jesus. I got beaten for Jesus. I suffer dishonor for Jesus. Different from the way you and I would have reacted. Those people don't respect Christ. Those people, that I won't talk to them anymore. No, 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 no. Jesus, on the cross, he said, don't tell other people. People who don't understand Christ and the reason why he was on the cross, basically called them ignorant. When he asked forgiveness for them, he said, God, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. You know, people who don't know what they're doing, they're stupid. I'm sorry. But Jesus said it, you know, he had a way of putting it together. But he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So we continue to say that, oh, people, we forgive people because they don't know what they're doing. What? People who don't know what they're doing. They're hurting people. They're making people suffer. They're making people go through most crucial pain, unbearable pain. Jesus said they don't know what they're doing. People who make people suffer for the name of Christ, they just, I won't say the word, but they don't know what they're doing. And so you who know what you're doing, when they make you suffer, have the right perspective when you serve Christ. Just let the power of the Holy Spirit work within you, so that you have patience. Patience means long suffering. Give you the strength to wait for him because he will not let you down. No matter what happens, trust him with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge his way. In everything you do and he shall guide your path. Have the right perspective. Let his power work within you. And I told you about the pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Because they're joy.
The same joy that you experience when you are with family, when you go on vacation, help you see what it means. At least you got a hint. But I like James 1:12 that says, blessed is he who bears, I'm paraphrasing, patiently trial. But after you've been trialed, you will receive the crown of life that God has promised, you know, to who? To those who love him. Love God. You love pleasure. Love God. You know, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, you know what he says? Eyes. You know, eyes have seen a lot of stuff. But he says, eyes have not seen. Ears never heard. Ears, your ears. Ears of people in the world have heard a lot of stuff. A lot of beautiful things. Eyes have never seen. Ears have never heard. Nor has it entered the heart of men. The things that God has prepared for those who? For those who love him. For those who love him. Some of you know Psalm 91. I know you find a lot of pleasure in love. And I have to tell you that love. But that's why, you know, the Lord laid on my heart to make you look at things like that. Psalm 91. There is a lot of security and protection for people. And a lot of people on a lot of religious circle use Psalm 91. And you know what it says at the end of the psalm? It says, because he loved me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will make his life long. And I will let him see my deliverance. This is promise of God to people who love him. There's pleasure in serving God. I love serving God. It's a joy. Some people think that Jeff DeLucian, oh, he's a nice guy. He came from Haiti, he came to the U.S., and he had the opportunity to stay, but he went back to Haiti. And he's serving God. And this is nice to say about me. But the right perspective is that, who? He's Jeff DeLucian. This is a boy who was born in a hut, dirt floor. Dirt floor. I was born in a dirt floor. My mom gave me birth on a dirt floor. I'm nothing. And then God gave me the opportunity to come and study at Washington. And I studied at Trinity International University. And I studied somewhere like in Georgia. And so I have the privilege of serving God in Haiti. This is an opportunity for me. I am not suffering. I'm too good. When I go to Haiti, I leave you here, I go to Haiti. I don't take hot shower. My bathroom doesn't flush. I always struggle with cars because they don't last too long with the road. But I am happy guy. I have joy in serving God because it's a privilege. God gave me an opportunity to serve him, and this is great. And I have a nice wife, nice children, nice family, nice church people supporting me. I am thankful. I don't suffer for Christ. Christ has called me to serve him, and this is great. I bless the name of Christ. Have the right perspective. I pray that you would let the power of Christ work within you. I just simply ask you to have pleasure in serving Christ. Right here at Bright Hope, at New Hope, we have the nicest story that the Lord brought to my mind. A family from this church felt the calling upon their life to go and basically have their honeymoon in my honeymoon suite in Pignon. And after they got married, they just went to Pignon. And I can tell you the great way that they help us. What a blessing. And I believe they have a child, and that's where the child was conceived. As they went to serve, they had joy in serving the Lord in Haiti. And then right now, they have the nicest, most handsome-looking son. And as we have a team leaving the walls of the church to go and share the good news, New Hope Community Church has the youngest missionary from everybody else who is going to be part of the team going. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So you have here a family who was called to go to Haiti for a few days. And then the Lord blessed them with a child. And this child right now, 4 years old, look at him. One of the most handsome boy. And he is one of the missionaries who's going on the trip today. Just get the right perspective. They thought they went to help. But God helped them. And by the power of God, they were blessed. And they continue to have pleasure in what God has done. I just pray that the Lord would take over your life and that you would let him use you as he pleases so that every step of the way you will know what it means to have joy in serving Jesus Christ. May God bless you.